daughter to maybe adopt him.
Okay.
Yeah? And so, maybe you should stay in touch.
Okay, we will.
Yeah, because you know so much about this thing. And you're actually involved, and your stuff is obviously being used. So
yes, it is. You do not have art numbers, because some people want to have references on art numbers and stuff like that, but I do not have, but...
Somebody who has put so much free time, and so I felt rather angry at some opportunity, and also like your presentation, because I figured out what PPP is.
Okay, so that's great.
And don't mention me too often, to thank me too often. I'm just doing this.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start in a couple of minutes, so please take your seats. Thank you all for coming. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. I can see some new faces in the room and lots of old faces. That's probably a slightly unfortunate choice of phrase. Familiar faces, thank you very much. Yes. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Despain. I'm the chair of the CCNSO, and I'm also the chair of the IDN policy development process working group thing. This is a session on IDNs. I'm going to do a little bit of history. I'm being buzzed at. I'm going to go through where we've got to, and the working group itself met yesterday, and we've made what we think is some progress. So, the fast track is running, and as you know, a number of IDN CTTLDs have already been launched, and there are a larger number in train and in process. The purpose of the policy development process is to produce the full blown policy for IDNs. The key being that the fast track was a quick way of trying to get. And he said quick and dirty. Then a quick way of. Of getting the IDNs out for those who had a real need for them. Now, a lot of the issues that the policy development process needs to look at are questions that have been answered in a particular way in the fast track. So, just to take a simple example, in the fast track, to get your IDN CCTLD, there are several hurdles that you have to get over. The first hurdle is that the script you're using must not be Latin script. So the fast track only works for scripts like Arabic and Chinese and Japanese and Tamil and so on, and Cyrillic, because they are not the Latin alphabet. There are some other hurdles. The string that you apply for must be a meaningful representation of your territory, and it must be in a language that is an official language of your territory. And all of those things were designed to keep the fast track as small as possible whilst answering the need of the community to have their IDN CCTLDs. So all of these things are up for discussion in the policy development process. Will we, for example, maintain the requirement that you can only have an IDN CCTLD if in an official language? Or will we say, well, no, actually, that doesn't matter. If Australia wants to have .Australia in Chinese, then that's perfectly fine. Will we maintain the requirement that the string that you apply for must be a meaningful representation of the name of your country or territory? For me personally, that seems like a no-brainer. I mean, clearly, there's no point in applying for a CCTLD that doesn't describe the country that you are trying to describe. But all of these things will need to be looked at. But we found ourselves in a situation where we had to do a bit of work first on the script issue. Should we limit IDN CCTLDs to only be available in non-Latin scripts? Or should we allow IDN CCTLDs to be available where ASCII is used, but is used with accents and maybe a couple of combining marks and maybe the odd letter that is slightly different from the 26 letters of the alphabet? Now, the easy simple way of doing it is to say Latin, non-Latin only, but that doesn't really work because there are countries and territories that use the 26 letters of the alphabet plus two or three others, and those two or three others are characters that appear in their name, and so therefore they would need to have an IDN. So what the working group did was to cast around and see if we could find a definition of what an IDN actually is. Now, obviously it's a definition of an IDN TLD rather than CCTLD, but nonetheless, it's still a definition. And we found that, Bart, what's the actual definition? Where is the definition? It's in the... You need to put the microphone on. Just the red button there.
Yes, it works. It was in the definition part of the whole IDNA biz suite of RFCs, the updated version. So it's, yeah, I can look it really up, but it's been shared. But it's in part of the IDNA biz.
So, and we will be publishing this shortly. But basically, as far as I'm aware, it's not actually officially adopted yet, but it's almost officially adopted. But anyway, in very simple terms, an IDN is defined as where the string includes at least one character that is not part of the 26 letter alphabet. Plus hyphens and whatever else is included in that definition. So where the working group currently is heading down the path of saying that an IDN CCTLD will be available provided that either your script is not ASCII or your string contains at least one character that is outside of the 26 letters of the alphabet plus the other bits and pieces that are included. So an E with an accent on it, or a letter with a circumflex or an umlaut, or any of those things in the name that is a meaningful representation of the territory, would therefore be classed as an IDN. And that would mean that it would be available under whatever the rules are that we finally decide upon for the full-blown policy. So the version of the chair's report that you currently have, I believe, still says that it should be limited to non-Latin scripts only. But that will change, and the working group will publish a further version of that that will change that to be the definition of an IDN being, as I've just described. The other issue that we've been talking about at some length is the issue of country names and their protection, which has somehow got mixed up in the sort of IDN policy development work that we're doing, principally because we recommended to the ICANN board that at least while we were doing the policy development process, there should be a freeze on the possibility of applying for the name of a country or territory as a GTLD. So we've had a lot of discussions about whether this PDP can in fact have anything to do with ASCII. Now, the way the policy development process is currently drafted, it is only considering the rules for IDN CCTLDs, and so therefore it is not considering, for example, Australia applying for .Australia. It would be considering Australia applying for .Australia in Chinese, but not .Australia. And we, the current charter under which this policy development process is operating, well, it doesn't contemplate us considering those sorts of issues. Can Norway apply for .Norway or .Norvège? And that is not part of what we are currently doing. So we are at a point now in this working group where we are coming to members, and we'll obviously do this officially, and we'll do it in writing, and we'll put it out for comment, and we're not expecting decisions to be made today or, for that matter, anytime soon. But there is a question of whether we should actually stop and consider whether we cancel, effectively, this PDP and go back and start a new PDP that considers CCTLDs generally and considers the possibility that we would have, what would the rules for IDN CCTLDs be, what are the rules for any CCTLD? Should we maintain the current ASCII situation where you get what you're given on the ISO list and that's it? Or should we allow for the possibility, under certain circumstances, that a country may wish to apply as a CCTLD for a meaningful representation of its name, either in a script that is not ASCII, or in a script that is ASCII but has additional characters, or in just plain ASCII. Now, there are all sorts of consequences that flow from this if we decide to do it, and we need to think very carefully about this as to whether we decide to do it or not. I just want to restate where we currently are. Where we currently are is that we will be making policy for IDN CCTLDs, and that includes strings that are ASCII-based strings, provided that a minimum of one character is outside of the 26 letters of the alphabet and the hyphens and the other bits and pieces. Now, if we do that and carry on doing that, then our current policy development process is perfectly fine and it'll take as long as it takes, and so be it. If we decide that we actually want to tackle the whole CCTLD question, then we have effectively to do we have to start again, effectively. Now, we don't lose very much in the sense of timing, but we would need to start again. Now, one of the reasons why this has been put forward and been discussed at some length is because of the concern about the possibility that .Australia or .Norway or .Sweden might be available as a... Ooh, Kevin. Drunk again. Yeah. You found it. Yeah. Where was I? As a GTLD. So recently you will have seen that we received a letter from ICAM, from the ICAM board, from Peter, saying that the board has agreed to accept the advice of the GAC and the advice of the CCNSO that country names should be excluded from this, the first round of new GTLDs. And that's great, because that's what we asked to have happen. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that they would be excluded forever. It could mean that in the second round of new GTLDs they were put back in again. It could mean all sorts of things. But if we had a policy in the CCNSO that said these names should be available to Alder for .Australia or Norid for .Norway or whatever, then, of course, that would mean that they couldn't be available anywhere else. And where we got to in our discussions, and what I'm very interested to hear what you think about, is that we said we needed to be very careful we didn't get confused with what we're trying to achieve here. Most people in the working group, I think, would say that provided the names are not available, as GTLDs, they do not have to, therefore, be available as CCTLDs. So in other words, as long as they're on a list that says you can't, they can't be registered, then we are probably of the general feeling that that's okay with us and we don't really mind that they can't be registered by CCTLDs. But it's up to the members of the CCNSO and the other CCTLD managers to actually come to a decision about this. Because if we decide that we should consider making them available for registration as CCTLDs, then we need to do some stuff. And we need to then decide whether we do that as a separate policy development process or change this one or whatever. So, does that roughly cover... Annabeth, does that cover where we got to? Yeah. So what I'd like to do is to throw it open for discussion in the room and hear what anybody else thinks. Don't all rush at once. So no one has an opinion. Tina has an opinion.
Oh, is this on? Yeah, okay, great. So just a quick question. So when you say, and I support that, by the way, when you say .Australia, .Norway, and so forth, is not covered by this type of process, would something like .Espana with the N with the tilde be covered?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Because that fits the definition of an IDN TLD, because it's got one character apart outside the 26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes.
Cool.
So, Annabeth. Yes.
Okay. We have to choose between stopping now and going on. That's what you're saying, that we have the options. But what we have to do is to have a PDP before the first... application round of GTLDs is finished to be sure that it's not taken back in that process again. But we're talking about CCTLDs or GTLDs all the time, and these are country and territory names. So we are kind of locked up in two different sets. We've been that for all ages. And I know that it's some talk in this community about perhaps making a little more differentiated and making country and territory names perhaps not CCTLDs and not GTLDs, but that we could have, we can't expect to have CCTLDs of country and territory names on exactly the same regime as country and CCTLDs are today, because that's kind of historic explanation for how they are, but not GTLDs either, because it's kind of peculiar if España should be an IDN CCTLD or at least under that regime, and then Sweden or Norway or Australia should not. So we have to discuss how can we treat country and territory names more equally.
Okay, I understand exactly what you're saying. There are about five different things in there. So let me see if I can pick them out. So first of all, the fact that Spain can have .España because it's got the accent. That fits in the IDN profile because, and let's assume for the moment that we maintain the current restriction of one, so one per language, right? So Spain would have .es as their ASCII CCTLD and .España as their IDN CCTLD, okay? Now, that makes logical sense, but If you throw away the single requirement, then you end up with a circumstance where you can have Norway, Norvège, whatever, as many as you like. But you also end up with a risk, and the risk is, it seems to me, is this. if we were to allow for the possibility that your full name in any language was available to you as a CCTLD, then that would sit there and nothing may happen for quite some considerable time. And one day, your government might wake up and say, oh gosh, we can have .Norway. We'll go and do that. And they don't talk to you about it. They just decide it should be run by the Ministry of Communications. And off they go, and they get a CCTLD, which is effectively competing with .NO. And I'm not certain that that's something that we would necessarily think is a particularly good idea. So there are enormous risks in that, and just as there are recognised risks in allowing them to be GTLDs, but even with government consent, there are huge risks. From our point of view, there are also risks in us saying, no, we want them. So it seems to me that it may be that the sensible way of dealing with it is to say, we think that no one should have them. And if we agree that that is our goal, then we then need to do is to find a methodology for ensuring that that actually is the case. So if we decided that would then mean that we would continue with our IDN PDP, because that would be fine because it's doing the IDN stuff and there's no problem there, and we would need to find some way of fixing that. So I don't know whether this would fix it, but just as an example, we could run our own policy development process fairly quickly, I should imagine, to come up with a policy recommendation to the board that said country names are key assets of, and I mean, I'm making this up, these are not the words you would necessarily use, but key assets of the territory, blah, 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 and should be, you know, reserved at all times and not be available for registration as TLDs. Now, some governments might not like that because they might view that they should have the ability to have their country name. So this is intensely complicated area, which we have tried to avoid and failed. So I don't know what we do next, but we obviously need to make a decision, not today, but at some point. Does anyone else have any thoughts at all about what we're talking about here, or are you all just exhausted even on day one? So.
Jason Polis, super.name. I created the IDN system back in 1996, so I've had some thoughts about this for quite some time. In the example you used with .au being for Australia and Australie in French for Australia,
yes.
Let's say we have both of those running simultaneously.
Yes.
And in .au we mainly have English names. We can have French names in there as well, but without the tildes, umlauts, etc.
At the moment, yes.
At the moment. Now, if we have both of those top-level domains set up and they're in sync, are we going to have both French and English names in both Australia and Australie?
Yes, but why would they be in sync, though?
If you want to keep the trees identical,
yes.
For each top-level domain.
But that would be a decision. That would be a decision for each individual country.
Would the alternative then be to have Australia as a domain name and Australie as a domain name being quite confusing to users?
Sure.
And with them having different, resolving different IP addresses getting to different servers?
Absolutely.
So you have...
Yes, I agree. Carrie.
Just like to point out, I'm Carrie Karp. I'm multiply involved in all of this. Most recently as one of the authors of the impending IDN ABIS document suite. And there is a notion that is frequently stated, as you're doing now, of there being synchronized domains. There is no mechanism in existence that that allows that to happen. And one of the reasons there is no mechanism in existence for it is because there's no mechanism yet conceived that would allow that to happen. So a TLD is a TLD, and if the operator of two TLDs can somehow figure out how to propagate lockstep policy propagation across delegation boundaries, they're welcome to do it, but there's no such thing as by definition or mandate.
That's exactly.
Thank you, Chris. Eric Brunner Williams, CORE, and speaking from the DNSX side. No, we're not there yet. We don't have a specification for a cloning mechanism or for a synchronization mechanism, nor do we have a clear charter or a clear requirement specification of what it is we should be developing. Thank you.
Tina in a second. Hilda. Hilda, you go.
Well, what you're describing here is why it's not necessarily a good idea to have several TLDs that sort of have the same country and territory name for the users, and why, for example, when a government and a community decides on whether they want Australia or Norway in Chinese, for example, they would have to consider, will this actually just be confusing? Will we want to try to develop policies that force there to be the same registrations in both spaces? And if so, what is the benefit of having an extra space where it's exactly the same kind of registrations as in the old space? But that's sort of local policy questions, and different countries might come up with different results. I would suspect that Norway wouldn't necessarily want a .Norge because we have a .no. We would certainly not want a .Norge to be a gTLD. And sort of purposes of not discriminating against certain languages, we would want .Norge, if it should exist, to be treated as a Spanish version or a French version of .Norge.
Yes.
But I do see Chris's point, and I think Annabeth was in the group discussing it, and I do see the point of not delaying the IDNCC-PDP process any further, because there are people there that might, you know, be waiting for the result, and then instead trying to find some way of embracing the last few ASCII names so that at least they're not thrown back into the gTLD market. Because I think that's something that the government has been very clear that they don't want, and it's something that the CCNSO has been very clear that they don't want.
Exactly. So I'll get to you in a second, Tina. So exactly. So the question was, the question that the working group was discussing was whether we were discussing ASCII country names because we wanted them, or we were discussing it because we didn't want them to be available as gTLDs. And basically, the conclusion we came to is that we don't want them to be available as gTLDs. And so, therefore, what we would need to try and do if we follow that line is to find some sort of a mechanism in conjunction with the GAC, if at all possible, of giving ICANN a clear, so not just a please don't do this, but some kind of clear mandate to not do it. Tina.
So I'm sorry, I'm just going to step back a little bit. I just wanted to say thanks to Eric and for the DNSX and for the fact that they're actually looking at this subject for variants and synchronized and stuff like that. And then just to mention also that there is a session on Wednesday afternoon where we're going to take that topic up, you know, more broadly and look at what ICANN as the whole community needs to start working on to make that a reality for those part of the community where such functionality or, you know, whatever you want to refer to it, variant synchronized, it has many names today, where something like that is necessary. So that's something that's ongoing this week as well.
Thanks, Tina. So if nobody else really wants to say anything, my summary of where I think we are is that we should prepare... We should finalise the current paper by making the changes that we need to make on the definition and get that out and get comment on specifically the IDN stuff. And perhaps what we should also do is to produce a document that outlines our views in respect to the specific issue of country names, which we can then send to the council, because it's not our job, it's not the working group's job to deal with this, but we because we're in it, we're the right people to write the paper. So write the paper, which we then send to the council, and then it can be discussed on the lists with the CC community at large. And if there is agreement or consensus that the goal is to maintain the current reservation, if you like, of country names so that they're not available, if that's the goal, then we would then need to find some sort of a way of achieving that. So as a result of, I mean, does that kind of reflect where the people in the room think we've got to? Annabeth?
Just one thing. We discussed this issue with our government, and even the Norwegian government feels like it's not that easy to block. They hate blocking things.
I understand that.
Yeah, and we have a joint meeting with the government advisory people from there.
Yes.
So I think this would absolutely be an issue to raise in that meeting.
Yes.
To try to figure out what they really feel about it.
We have a joint session with them tomorrow after lunch. The main topic of conversation is probably going to be the Del Riedel, but this is on the list as well. And so I'll make sure that we get at least some time on this, so that we can talk to them about what sort of possibilities there are from their point of view. I mean, let's be clear here. If there is consensus in the such a thing is possible in the GAC, that under no circumstances should there be a reservation, that a decision has to be made one way or the other, whether it is a G or a C, then that informs our debate, because then we say, well, in that case, we'll go away and make that decision. But let's also be really clear here. I mean, we would have to... This is something which has a significant effect on the GNSO and the GTLDs. So we would need to, even if we do decide to do a policy development process on that, specifically on country names, we would need to find a mechanism for ensuring that this was properly dealt with, and we didn't have the GNSO quite justifiably standing on the outside complaining. So that's that. But hopefully we won't have to do that with a bit of luck. Although judging by the way that Chancellor was smiling over there, I suspect we may have maybe a harder task than we might wish. Hold on. Yes. Bart's just reminded me that there is one other issue that this policy development process will need, our current IDN policy development process will need to cover, which is currently not addressed in the Chair's report, which is the issue of variance. And the reason why it's not is because we're still waiting for the technical community input, so that we're clear what we're actually talking about, because right now we're really not. But that will need to be addressed as part of this policy development process, because there will need to be a policy in respect to variants, what they are, what they mean, and so on. I mentioned... Carrie, go ahead.
I'd just like to point out that the technical community is busy waiting for you guys to articulate the problem so that they can decide if it's something that they can solve. And it's really neat moving between the camps, hearing everybody say, we're waiting for the other guys.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize if I gave the impression that we're blaming you in any way, because we're not. You explain what we're actually... what we think we're waiting for, Carrie, which we may actually not be waiting for, but what we think we are.
Say, I think what became very clear from the fast-track process, that the management of variants is a very complex issue. And in order to avoid, say, that was, from a policy perspective, that was the view, we don't want to set boundaries or direction on where the whole discussion within the technical and operational community is going, because that's one of the things you don't want to do, is that, the, say, from a policy perspective, some of the solutions or potential solutions will be blocked by a policy. Otherwise, we have... That's the reason why we were very... restraining ourselves to include any language with regard to the management of variants, because we are not aware, we are aware there are policy issues, but we're not aware which one. And maybe it's a good thing to, and I'm looking at Tina, maybe it's a good thing to wait for some of the experience gained through the fast track process of what the real issues are. But that's why we have this placeholder in the chair's draft.
I'm guessing Tina wants to speak.
Yeah. So I was trying to push it out of this meeting by my comment before, which was to say we're going to talk about it on Wednesday. The thing is that the technical community doesn't know what to do because they don't know what we want, and on the policy side, and we don't know what to tell them that we want because we don't really know what the limitations are. And so it goes hand in hand a little bit, this subject, when it comes to being between technical and policy. And so because of that, what ICANN staff has been working on is to create some sort of like project plan for how can we go about getting these discussions started in the right form. So we're going to start that on Wednesday. We're not quite done with the project plan yet. We do have a board working group on the subject matter that has been formed for this specific purpose to help us out on this. They're looking at this draft plan that was that staff provided them. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, which makes it hard to get this launched. One of the things that we decided was that this needs to be launched in the next fiscal year, which is starting here 1st of July. So we wanted to kickstart it with a discussion on Wednesday to get some more community discussions going on it. But in it, there is also like sort of like a list of things from ICANN staff where we're saying these are the things that we believe that we need to have settled. And it is policy discussions, but they can't really take place without some technical input. So it's sort of like trying to merge the two different sides of it.
Sure.
If I start saying anything else, then I won't have anything to say on Wednesday.
Yeah, indeed. Maybe... thanks, Tina. That's very helpful. This really is extremely hard, especially for intensely non-technical people like me. But just to give you an example of how confusing I find it, I'm still completely unclear, and I don't know if anybody is clear what a variant actually is. I understand that it is a variant, for example. I think Sia Vash's Iranian example is probably the best one I've heard, which is, Sia Vash, can you just very quickly tell us what that is?
Okay, there are different kinds of variants. I can tell you what one kind is. One kind is the following. You can have different Unicode representations of the same visual symbol. And so if a country, you know, registers its name, you know, has a naming the root in one form, in one puny code, it cannot possibly be reached with the other, you know, version. So that's one of the problems. Yeah. There are other kinds of variants. That's
sure. But so I mean, but my understanding is that it's not. The fact that a name may be spelled two different ways doesn't necessarily mean that that's a variant, right?
The problem is that human beings write things with squiggles. Some set of squiggles, that's the name of our country.
Yes.
Okay. Unicode doesn't know terribly much about the squiggles. They'll assign a number. Yep. Unicode is just this long numbered list of all the squiggles used on the on the planet and some on other planets. really? I mean,
really?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. The thing that's difficult, it's intrinsically opaque, is that, okay, this is the way I write the name of the country. And some other guy says, well, this is the way I write the name of the country, and they are identical. except in my keyboarding practice. When I sit at my keyboard, the sequence of numbers that I'm actually storing in a database someplace differs from the sequence of numbers that the other guy is storing in a database someplace. And in a situation where you expect something to match, okay, I'm using a web address that includes this label. Yeah. I've typed it as I type it. Why doesn't it respond? Well, because you're typing it using one sequence of code points, as they're called, and the guy who registered it typed it with another sequence of code points. Exactly. That's the one flavor of variation. And the other important flavor of variation is where it is, in fact, the exact same word, the same concept, however you want, the same country name, but it can be written using minor squiggular variation in the same script, or two entirely different scripts. There are countries that have two writing systems, languages that have two writing systems. Sure. The language is identical, it's spoken identically, but the characters that are used for its written representation are taken from two separate
realms. That would be traditional and simplified Chinese.
Yeah, if you wish. I mean, the Chinese situation is a single script, but there's a traditional variant of it and a...
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what's actually an issue under contention. Is it one script? Because if it's one script, the rules of the fast track say then one label, and if it's two scripts, well, then it's okay, but it's not two scripts, it's one script. Hey, wait a second, everybody's confused. And
thank you. I mean, I get that. It's a bit like the shift 3 on my keyboard is a dollar sign, but shift 3 on an English keyboard is a pound sign, and it depends on.
Are they interchangeable, pounds and dollars?
Soon to be.
I work in Sweden. I use a Swedish keyboard. When I am elsewhere in Europe, when I am in Paris, using a French keyboard, this is the exact same alphabet. Yeah.
Doesn't work.
It works, but it's confusing as heck.
Yeah. James.
Hi. Yeah. Just to add, testing. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Just to add to the discussion, it's a very good point that different kinds of variant, but more importantly, the confusion lies in that the different form of variants in different languages requires different policy to handle. While one solution that may adopt that makes sense for Chinese may not be the same for Indian languages. And that when you classify variants in a single class and try to resolve them in a single policy solution, then you have a problem.
The policy problem that we have is, I understand the Unicode the numbers. The policy problem that we have is we have to figure out what fits into that. So is it simply I come and I say this and this are the same, and therefore I want this as a variant of that? What do I have to do as an applicant for a CCTLD to prove, if you like, that this is a variant? Are you going to take more from your words from Wednesday, Tina? Or do you
Well, actually, it's such a good topic. I don't mind at all having it as a conversation throughout the week.
Just so you know, I think some of the I don't know what time is the session on Wednesday.
Yeah, I can't remember on top of my head. I think it's like 4 to 5:30.
Okay, that works. So you know some of the CCs present will be at the CCNSO meeting itself. So we have this conflict. So don't hesitate to say anything.
Okay, so unfortunately some meetings are overlapping, and that's just a challenge with everything going on. But so in terms of the variance, I mean, what we really need to figure out from a policy perspective is, first of all, we need to define the different types of variants that we have. And Chinese is... perhaps some type, and others are other types, and they all have different characteristics around them, and we heard some examples of some of them, right? The question is, do we want to have the same policy for all of them? Is there some of them where the variance can be dealt with through registration policies, and is that good enough? Is there some where it needs to be technical guaranteed synchronized solution, which doesn't exist today, and do we need to test that out and try and see if we can find and ask the technical community if they can try and find something like that or get very close to it? You know, which works for which, and how do we want to go about that? That is partly a policy question, but it is also a little bit of a technical question, because what you quickly get into a discussion of on that is security. So there you go. It's really, I think it's really hard. I think we've had a couple of working groups on it. They've come up with some suggestions on how to differentiate between the different types. I don't think we're quite there yet. And as long as we're not quite there yet, we can't really go to the technical community and say, hey, can you fix this for us? Because we can't really tell them what exactly is it that we're trying to fix and what we would like to see the policy to be fixed around it. So that's what we need to figure out. Definitions, what rules do we think works? And they can come back and say, well, we don't think those rules are good enough. We think you need something stricter than that because of the security problems that would arise here. Or they could say, oh, no, this is good enough, but we don't have a solution for that technically, but we can do some tests and let's see if we can figure it out. So it is going to go back and forth like that.
All right. So, James.
Just like to make a point that actually when I meant that the solution to variance requires different outcome depends really very much on what the community wants. One set of community may say, I want both variant delegated, and the other side, a separate community may say that I want one variant and the other variants, I don't want it to be delegated ever.
Well, hold on. Yes, you're right. But you also need to decide what is a variant, because what you're effectively doing here is by claiming something as a variant, that has an effect on the policy that we make. Because if it could be run as two separate registries, then is that actually two TLDs? Or is one a variant of the other? And what policy do you need to have in respect to that? And could you possibly, in 5 years' time, decide to split the management of your two variants and have, you know, Hilda running one and Nanabet running the other? There's an intensely complicated policy problem here which we need to try and figure out. If there was a simple definition that said a variant is green is a variant of blue, that's it, simple, then you'd be able to say, right, well, as long as it's green, it's not a problem. Carrie.
I mean, everybody is sort of circling around the core of this. There's no such thing as a variant.
Yes.
The concept of variance has enormous linguistic and cultural
Absolutely.
Attributes to it. And we can start to particulate. We can say that, well, there is a notion of variance applicable in the ideographic realm that lacks counterpart in the alphabetic realm. And that's the two main ways to do it. But still, if you take a look at the alphabetic realm, one of the real problems, and this does get technically complex pretty quickly, is that the Unicode procedure for encoding different scripts can be based on significantly different principles. So there's a certain attribute of writing that two scripts share, but the way the Unicode has dealt with them in both cases differs wildly, which makes it very difficult for there to be a neat technical solution that fits everything.
So you just need to fix Unicode then?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
With guns.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're coming to the close of this. I think we're pretty clear that I think I can say for the working group, we're pretty clear on what we need to do next from the point of view of moving this forwards. I think we'll also take the discussion on the variant and see if we can't maybe, instead of waiting for each other, perhaps start talking to each other. It might be a good idea. Any last comments before I close? Okay, so we start. We are tomorrow for the CCNSO members meeting in the big room where we have been today. We're in the gold room or whatever it's called. We're not in here. Yeah, I know, it's going to be great, isn't it? We're here on Wednesday, but on tomorrow we're in the big room. So please invite all your friends so that it looks as if there are a few people there. And we start at 9 o'clock, and we have a pretty full day, including session with the GAC and various other things. And Peter and Rod are coming at 10 o'clock. Please think of any questions that you would like to ask them. We will be calling for questions if you would like to. If you are not comfortable asking your own question and you would like to send it to me to be asked on your behalf, I'll be happy to do so. I already have one of those. Keith, of course, will be quite comfortable to ask his own question. Okay, so thank you very much indeed, everybody, for coming along this afternoon, and we'll see you all tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, in the big room.